What is up, everybody? This is the Primal King Podcast, and this is episode number 42. All right, so my guest today is somebody who has had massive success in business. He went through a lot of hard times, a lot of kind of personal demons to get there. So I'm really excited for you to be able to check this one out. So let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Primal King Podcast. And so today we have an amazing guest. So I've had the pleasure of knowing him for the last several years, and he is one of the good ones. This is someone who has built a multi-million dollar business with his childhood friends that is on a six-year streak of the Inc. 5,000 fastest growing companies. He has created the Be Fulfilled community, which includes a podcast, an amazing journal, yes, I have one myself, a Facebook group, as well as coaching. Like myself as well, he has set out on a mission to redefine what success really is. Here's a hint: we both agree it's not just money. And lastly, but most importantly, he's a husband and a dad and an all-around good guy. Really excited to introduce you to my friend, Mr. Tony Grebmeyer. Thanks again, Tony, for coming on.
Hey, brother. Nice to see you, and nice mustache. Anybody watching on the replay someday, they'll realize you had a nice handlebar mustache.
Beautiful, beautiful, yes. So I wanted to kind of start because I know that you've obviously built this successful business. You've been building this successful community, but I guess just to kind of go back, were you the type of person that was always in the entrepreneurial space? Were you more of a job person? I mean, I know some of this, but for maybe those of you who don't know you, like, what was it like kind of growing up when it comes to business?
Wow. Loaded question. I don't want to offend anybody. I didn't do well being an employee of any organization because there was rules, and those rules were strict. And if you didn't follow those rules, well, let's just say there was problems. And one of the things that I learned under, you know, my short time at a business here or a business there is that most of the jobs that I said yes to had something to do with feeding me. So I worked for Domino's, I worked for Jack in the Box, you know, I worked at like a local 7-Eleven, I'm not quite sure all of the jobs, but some of them were like working in the arcade. Some of them were working in an amusement park, radio air personality. So I tried to find things at the end of the day that I could do without having anybody bother me. But always growing up, if I wanted something and I saw it, I knew that I had to earn money to obtain it. It wasn't like handed to me. Nothing was really handed to me. I look back on my life and I'm like, I think I got an Atari one year. I took it apart a few minutes after that. I was always trying to figure stuff out. Two sides of my family are divided. On my father's side, everybody is either an artist or an engineer. And then on the other side of my family, you take some of that artist kind of like mindset and mentality mixed with like people in the education space. So my grandfather was a doctor. So he went to school. Came over, in the early, let's say 1900s, here to, you know, America, travels, gets an opportunity, grew up Jewish. His last name was Noodleman. That wasn't going to work for law school. Changed his name to Delman. Met my grandmother on my mom's side, came from Kosovo, came all the way here as well, Polish. Nothing was handed to either one of them. They worked really, really hard, had just one child, which was my mom. My mom then went into education, became a special ed teacher. And that's where I kind of like have a blend, right? I'm not great as a student. I don't learn well being told what to do. But on the other side, I'm very artistic in the sense that I can take and use my voice, skill sets that I have. I can see something and figure it out really, really quick of like, hey, I can make this adjustment, that adjustment. And that has lended just beautifully to being an entrepreneur. And so I think later in life, I figured out that, hey, you know, I'm not a good student, but I'm actually really good at helping people. So how do I take some of the aspects of being a teacher and helping people to see what's in front of them that they can't see themselves? And that's kind of like, you know, you talk about a coach, you talk about a podcast, talk about a journal, you talk about running a business. it's all about examples and giving people a glimpse so they can see themselves as if they were the ones doing it and what would they would feel in that process. And that's really where I spend all my time, because when I look back at my life, I just had a lot of things that I learned that I didn't want to do, jobs, and that I made sure that I worked really, really hard to avoid ever going back to. And then I knew I wanted to create my own future and not have my future created for me.
So I know that this is a question that gets tossed around so often. I'd be curious your take on it. Do you believe that entrepreneurs are born or that they're created?
Oh, that's an interesting one. In just the simple sense of, like, when I listen to you ask it, I don't necessarily think I was created to be an entrepreneur or I was born to be an entrepreneur. I really fell into being an entrepreneur, right? So you could leverage it either way. I was born, so then I fell into something. For me, like, not going to, you know, school, I'm 13 units shy of getting just a simple AA degree from a college, a community college. I just knew that, like, if you wanted something bad enough and nobody was going to give it to you, you better figure out seriously how to be the primal king of your life and take complete control. And that got me into a lot of trouble. So I will be the first to tell you, like, having that mindset and mentality serves me and also hurt me. And then I learned how to harness it. And that's where I really feel like I was created to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Cause you hear that question go around a lot. And I feel like it's almost one of the similar questions that you get with leadership, because there's people that it's like, oh, that guy or that girl's just a born leader. Right. But then I also think that there's a lot of skills that go into leadership and entrepreneurship that you have to acquire. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting, right? Like, you know, what about leadership? Do you think it's similar? Because obviously you're leading a massive company and a movement and all of this. Do you feel like you were born as a leader, or do you feel like that's also skills that you've kind of honed in on?
Well, I'm in recovery. So anybody who knows me well enough knows that I talk about being in recovery and what does that really, really look like. And there's a question that gets constantly tossed around in my recovery is, you know, when are you ready to sponsor somebody? Right? When are you ready to help take somebody through steps? And the answer is, as long as you are ahead in the steps, then it's a lot easier for you to take somebody through the steps, because you can't teach something that you haven't got. So you can't transmit something that you don't have. So I've had to be around successful leaders who have been able to help me understand. So then in return, I'm taking knowledge that the world has, books, masterclasses, you know, being in the right rooms to see how it is kind of executed, and then take and have courage and strength to go and lead, right? I love the Japanese proverb. I say it all the time, you know, fall 7, get up 8. Like, you have to be willing to fall down. Les Brown says, you know, fall flat, but make sure you're on your back so you can see and look up so you can get up. You want to make sure in whatever you're going to do and whatever you're going to try today to learn that it's not supposed to be perfect, right? Like, you know, for me, the only perfect thing is God, and I'm not that. So try today and be a student. And at the end of the day, chalk up the lessons, right? So that's why my quote says, chase the wind, study the lessons, and never give up. Because that's all life really is. It's a bunch of lessons. And as Jim Rohn talks about, you know, difficulties mixed with opportunities. That's what life is, right? And if you want to get better at anything, you better start applying something and figure out what does and doesn't work. An actor goes in, reads a script, and you hope that that actor at one time in his career gets the flexibility and freedom to ad lib a little bit and infuse his personality and character into it and deliver a great role. I know that Robin Williams, for example, like in Aladdin and some of these great movies that he was in, was never really given a script, was only given a concept. And he took great direction and then led an amazing, amazing dialogue. If you've ever seen the original Aladdin, you know, Will Smith didn't try to take it and make it better. He just made it his in the new version of Aladdin. But his leadership on the set made everybody better. But he didn't know how to do any of that. He's been doing it all of his life. So for me, I've learned a lot along the way by watching some really amazing people. You know, I didn't know how to be a father. You know, I had a dad who tried his best at being a father. And I learned by failing and miserably making mistakes and making my kids cry and, you know, doing some things that, you know, wow, I wish I would have done those differently. And I've gotten better and better at it over the years. But don't necessarily think anybody's born into any of it. I think you're born into maybe hardship, and then you have a switch go off saying, I want my life to be different than it is, and then you find the opportunity and the way out. Sometimes you escape, you run, you do what you got to do. But for me, everything that I've ever achieved in my life has come from making a decision in my head saying, I want this, and I'm willing to learn and fail and learn and fail. And I know deep down inside, you know, Derek, with you or anybody that you talk to, there's an opportunity. And are you listening to the opportunity that's knocking at your door today? And that was, yeah, I started a company in my garage. I didn't freaking think I was going to have 60 people running around doing things in a company. But guess what? You don't realize that, you know, you're going to meet the person you're going to meet on the day you're going to meet them. You're going to fall in love. For me, it was have kids and then have kids and, wow, move from California to Colorado. Like, I don't know any of those. I just said yes to what was in front of me. And the results have kind of left those up to God.
It's great. One of the things, too, that you talked about that's always fascinating to me is the courage to do those things that you just talked about. Because I think, from my experience, one of the things that holds a lot of people back, you know, and like over the years doing consulting and sales and everything else is fear. Fear that if I start a new business, I'm going to fail. Fear that if I do something outside of the norm, maybe that my dad did or that my family did, that I'm going to fail. So when it comes to the courage aspect of that, how have you found, you know, I guess, yeah, the courage to be able to do what you've done up to this point?
So I was working on this today. Extra, extra, extra. You are the narrator of your life story. So stop allowing others to write your next chapter for you and take control of the script today. So if you're waiting for permission to proceed, you will most likely stay stuck in your tracks. So flip the switch. It's my life story, and I'm ready for the next chapter. Remember, there's never been a better time to create than today. What steps should I take? Create not because you can, but because the world needs you more than ever. Fear, in my program, in my language, is false evidence appearing real. Like, I have a fantasy of what is gonna come. It's like, you know, I know that that new movie that somehow the producers and the community who put the trailer together are teasing me. They're not showing me, they're teasing me. They're getting me to think a little bit with my head to think, is really Luke dead? You know, is his lightsaber still floating through space? Is Han Solo back? They're giving you a preview. That's what fear is. They're giving you, it's just a preview and it's playing over and over and over in your mind. And what I've learned is I have to not get obsessed with what I'm thinking. I have to start talking about it with, like, you sit down and, you know, Randall, and just have a conversation with your brother and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And what I realize is that my fear then has a name and I can identify what it really is. And I realize, you know what, like, man, I'm out of integrity. Like, wow, I need to restore some things in my life. And you know what, like, maybe I should have said this differently or done that differently. And next thing I know, truth is spoken to me. And then I realize it's not really as bad as I thought it was. You know what it is the unknown, the uncertainty. It's like counting the sands in an hourglass and wondering when it's going to run out. Or you can just say, I'm certain about one thing. It's going to run out and I don't want to be here watching it when it does. I want to be in action. So it's just about seeing the opportunity and doing something about it.
See, I think that there's so many people that if they had their choice, they would be an entrepreneur, right? Because I feel like, and I'd love to get your take on this, but I feel like as humans, most of us don't really like to be told what to do, how to do it, when to do it, all of that. But at the same time, obviously the vast majority of people work in a job. They work in a job most of them don't like statistically, right? Most people, that means most people wake up every day, go to a job that they don't like, and they're told what to do by a lot of times people that they don't care for, right?
So is that true, Courtney? Courtney's in here. She works with me. She makes my life so much easier.
I can see Courtney in reflection nodding her head.
No, she's gonna cheer and we're gonna amplify this. Do you like working for an entrepreneur?
I love it.
Okay. Do you sometimes go, oh my gosh, I have so much stuff. This guy just constantly throws stuff at me and I don't know what to do? Or do you feel like you have clear direction and ideas and creative flexibility to be who you are?
I feel like I have creative flexibility to be who I am.
So I think it's all in the setup. Thank you. I think it's all in the setup because a good friend of mine, Vernon Foster, wanted to be an entrepreneur really, really bad, right? And, you know, part of that is like he had so much pressure that he built on himself about being an entrepreneur. And he has a podcast, you know, I Want to Be Famous. And I think he put so much pressure on himself when he didn't live up to like the example that he had created, the pressure mounted. And when you talk to him a year later, he is so excited and just loves working in the industry that he is now. He's working for Acast. You know, he helps, you know, finding great new shows to transfer over to the Acast platform. And you got to hear it in his voice. Like, man, I love being an entrepreneur, but there's more to being an entrepreneur. And yeah. I don't think everybody was created or would want to. I think everybody has a vision or a dream. And this is something I went off on a little bit this morning. You know, when I was out on a walk, I was having a self conversation. And I think as humans, we need to have more self conversations, but you should record them because then you can really see how you feel and the way that your face moves when you're making these like kind of like notions up. And I'm saying, you know, all my beliefs came from my parents. You know, they were injected in me by my mom, my dad, my sister, my stepbrother, teachers, people around me, neighbors, you know, relatives. And it's their fear that told me without telling me, but they showed me what I didn't want to be in my life. Right? I knew I was not going to be a student. I can't even sit still for 5 minutes without getting up and running around and doing shit still to this day. I've got a watch on that reminds me I got to get up once an hour. I mean, I have distractions set to keep me moving so I don't sit still and die. And when I talked to my buddy Vernon, he couldn't be more excited about like just the ability to take a job, all the pressure of life, just show up, do his job, do what he loves every single day and not have to go to bed worrying about all of the staff and all of the dot this and a dot that. He just gets to do what he loves. And I think that's what people in life ultimately need to find is what do they love? Like for some people, I didn't have the luxury of playing baseball growing up. Like I wasn't asked or even invited to go out and try out for a baseball team. You know, I got a chance to play soccer and I was like, this is cool, but there's got to be more to life than playing soccer. There's nothing wrong with it. I was a goalie. The whole action was way down there. And if my team sucked, then the action was right here. So I was kind of like sometimes kick the ball just to have it come right back. And then I got into high school and I was always in trouble. And someone says, you should go play water polo. That'd be great for your kid. Next thing I know, I'm in the pool. And once again, I'm a goalie. And the action's down there. And sometimes I would screw up just to get the action to come back. And then I go off to college. And now I'm in college and I'm like, crap, I don't want to go to school. Well, I want to be a radio DJ because they lock you in a booth by yourself and you got to do what you want. And so I realized that Vernon's right, you're right, and so am I, that you have to find deep down inside what lights you up. Pursue that more than anything in the world. Money comes and goes. It's like oxygen. You need it, don't lose it. But don't focus on every breath you take, but be mindful of every breath you do take because one day you won't be able to take that breath. So for me, when I think about being an entrepreneur, I don't know any different. It's the only currency I've been using, right? And I love to go out because I have team members like Courtney who work here at this company. They don't work for me, they work with me. And that's how I've been able to change the language around these questions that you're asking me and how I identify the people. They're on our team. We work together. We collaborate. We make things better. Do I get mad? Yes. Do I get frustrated? Yes. Do I care at the end of the day that we made mistakes? Yes. But I know deep down inside that we're going to be better tomorrow when we try again. And that's that fail 7, get up 8 mentality.
Love it. Love it. Now, I want to kind of bail back into, because obviously you've gone through some stuff, right? To put it lightly. I know that you
I stuck my finger in the light socket and I lived.
Yeah. So what did that experience, I guess for those listening that don't know your story, obviously you kind of hit a low point. If you would, just to kind of go back, because I always like to give people context as to what you talk about now. There's a reason as to why you can talk about it and know what you're talking about. And it's because you've lived through some of these struggles that all of us face, right? So if you would you kind of take us back to what was going on when you were in the middle of the addiction and when you were kind of at that low? Like what, I guess, first of all, what got you to that point as you look back?
A bunch of really messed up decisions. And I don't blame anyone or anything for me. I blame me for not looking out for anybody else. I was selfishly self-centered, thinking about only me. And I didn't, even though I was married, had kids, had a business, same one that I'm in today, had family, all the same love and attention, you know, blah, 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 blah. But didn't really have an idea of where I was at or what I was up to. It was kind of like someone wrote you a check and didn't tell you anything else. And you just saw money and you just saw an opportunity and you're like, screw it. And so I got myself into a ton of debt. You know, basically had to end up short selling our home, separated from my wife for, you know, almost 3 years, move in, move out. Dealt with just a lot of internal turmoil and struggle, identity, figuring out what I wanted, who I was. Dealt with a lot of crap from my past that I just buried. And came to the conclusion that maybe Tony doesn't need to be here anymore, and really started contemplating the idea of suicide and letting those thoughts kind of take over. And one thing led to another. And a good buddy of mine called me in the act, you know, and basically said, hey, I'm coming to see you. And I said, all right, great. And, you know, he came and knocked on my door. And that moment changed my life forever. And that was on October 9th, 2008, when he knocked on the door. He gave me a hug and he says, you know, Tony, your life has meaning and purpose. How you're living it right now, doesn't, and ultimately spoke truth into me. And the good thing about my buddy John is that it was just somebody who decided to do something in the moment instead of sitting back wondering, you know, how is Tony. He decided to pick up a phone and call. And so that really has led me to, like, nurture relationships, to be the guy who calls, be the person who reaches out, be the person who may annoy that fuck out of you, but I'm going to knock on your door and check in on you and see how you're doing, or, you know, send you a text message. So from all of the negative really has come a lot of positive that I've been able to use into my own life and then preach and teach and help other people to do on their own, which is, you know, got to care, man. In this world, especially people who learn how to hide behind a mic or a computer, or now, you know, COVID, you know, hiding out, social distancing, all the stuff that you should be doing so you don't get other people sick if you are sick. But really, like, it's easy to hide out now. You have an excuse, like, hey, there's COVID, we can't do this. And the reality for me was, pre-COVID, Tony was a hider. Like, I, you know, hid out. I didn't want to face the truths. I didn't want to face the things. And so by the time I finally got control of my life and ended up repairing my marriage, getting back, becoming a, you know, a dad, like, present, you know, father, I was knee deep in a pretty big pain pill addiction. I had multiple knee surgeries and would go through like 90 Vicodin in a weekend. And alcohol for me was something that was like water. I just could drink it and didn't really feel the effect. So I would pound a whole bunch and then I'd be the first to pass out at a party. My wife said something though, it was always been baffling for me. She's like, I've only seen you like drunk like two or three times. And I was like, wow, man, I must have been really good. Because like, I just remember like I couldn't hold it together. And finally, after getting all that stuff, and we'll be off of the what was, what is the opportunity that I was given today to create my life that I have. You know, I took ownership, didn't file BK. We were basically $1 million in debt with credit card, like bank, life, everything. And through the grace of God and really an understanding of my disease, which is really just my dis-ease, today that I have a really clear vision and picture for my life, which entails service, which is one of the, you know, steps that at the very end, which you're never done, it's just one of the last steps of the 12, which is service, right? And Zig talks about it, Jim talks about it, Les Brown talks about it, Tony Robbins talks about it. Be of service. You want to live a good life? Go help somebody today, you know? Instead of stepping over somebody, pick somebody up. And if they can't, you know, help themselves, maybe pick them up and carry them for a little bit, but help them to see themselves as what my friend John saw, that I had purpose, right? And my life had meaning, and it just needed me to, I needed to be dust off. Like, I just needed somebody to come and help me. And by doing so, I can't even begin to tell you how many lives that conversation has affected, right? Like, you sell thousands of journals or give away thousands of journals, speak from stage, put out content, be on your podcast, share on other people's podcast. My story is kind of boring. I mean, I run a company that offers fulfillment services, right? It's cool and all, But my office life is really about professional fulfillment. My personal life and my podcast, my community, and the journal is all about personal fulfillment. So I've been so blessed with the opportunity just to be fulfilled. And that's what I love most about finding recovery, is finding who I was created to be, was somebody who was to be of service. And I want to tell you what my belief is. This is my belief, maybe not yours, is God didn't create me to be stuck in misery and be an addict and all that. But I found my message in my mess. God gave me an opportunity to turn it around, and I live every single day from the notion of what was, but what is the opportunity I have. And today I don't want to screw it up. Today I want to move forward with intention, be on podcasts, help somebody today to see themselves better than they were, so they know that they are, you know, and it's possible for them to be better than they have been, and that, you know what, really it's just about dusting them off today. And that's what I live for. I live to see people rise up.
Well, and right now we're going through, kind of like you mentioned with COVID, we're going through such a unique time. Like I was talking to somebody the other day who's, you know, like what, almost 60, and was like, there's never been a year, like, you know, I've lived through some crazy stuff, but there's never been one thing after the other like this. And because of that, it's got a lot of people emotional. Obviously, there's a lot of emotional topics going on. The COVID stuff gets people emotional. And because of, you know, some people do have their fulfillment wrapped up within their work, and they've been laid off, they've been fired, maybe their business has been shut down, whatever it may be. There's a lot of that type of stuff going on right now. So what would your advice be to somebody if they were like, man, like 4 months ago, I had my dream life. I had the business running or the job that I loved. My family was taken care of. Within 3 or 4 months, it is all gone, man. Like, why the hell do I even need to be here? Like, what would you say to somebody like that if there is someone listening that's going through that?
Well, first off, I mean, I feel for you. You know, it's shit. Like, every day is a day to invent and create, right? We've been given a brand new day. If we wake up and we've never seen that day before, that's an opportunity. So when someone feels the way that I felt and was going through shit, you know, there are good people out there. There are good people out there who want to help. And you're not weak for asking for help. And it's an opportunity and an obligation of you to raise your hand and say, hey, I need help. And don't feel bad. And I know you may, you know, feel like crap. You know, I feel like the boy who's cried wolf. I've done it over and over and over again. The idea is to mean it and to get to a point where you actually want to do something about it. When I decided that I wanted to die, I wasn't thinking anything other than being selfish, self-centered Tony. I wasn't thinking about my wife. I wasn't thinking about my kids. I wasn't thinking about my business partner. I wasn't thinking about any of it. I was just thinking about me and say, screw this, I'm out. And when John reached out, he shared with me a vision that I couldn't see myself, but he could share from, I'm just calling it intuition, life, whatever was spoken into him. He shared it with me 45 minutes after John left, like the next hour or two. Then my pastor came over and I'm sitting talking to my pastor, and he gave me this vision for my life. He's like, I see you on stage in front of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people sharing your story and helping transformations and doing blah, blah, blah. Man, in the moment, all I could think about was taking my own damn life. I couldn't see that. So you have to be open-minded to the people that you have in your life. Like, if you're making continuously bad decision after bad decision, do you really want to change your freaking life? Because I promise you, taking your life isn't going to make anything better. It's going to only make things worse. And it's going to make things worse for your family. It's going to make things worse for the people around you. If you don't think you're important, I promise you, you're mistaken. You're one of the most important people in the world. You make the world a better place. You have a heartbeat, you have blood flowing through you, so you make a difference. So start today by just saying, hey, today may be a bad day, and I'm going to remind you, you just never want to quit on a bad day.
Yep.
So what is good going on in your life right now? Well, you can check your pulse and realize you're breathing. Maybe you can see, maybe you can't, maybe you can hear, maybe you can't, maybe you can walk, maybe you can't, but you have a heartbeat, and that should tell you one thing. If you can feel your heartbeat, you're alive, and from here is the next beginning of your life. You want to create a new reality, you got to change what you've been doing. So start looking for what is working in your life, right? And you may say, man, there's nothing to live for. I promise you, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. There's a lot to live for. There's a lot more to live for than to die for right now, I can promise you that. So let's just start listing some of the good things going on. Is your phone ringing? You have internet? Is there a television? How are you listening to this podcast right now? Like, there are some things that are, wow, they're blessings. People in the world don't even have access to the internet, don't even have access to having a cell phone. I mean, just start counting small little blessings and you realize you've truly gifted and blessed. You may say, hey, but the creditors are calling. I'm like, at least you got a phone that they're calling. You can't call somebody who doesn't have a phone. And so there's a lot of things that you can begin to look at. So perspective is what I had to shift, and that's what I'm going to ask you to shift if you're listening right now. Shift your perspective to say, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Man, if you find somebody who has it all figured out, tell me. Because not a single person I've ever met knows what's coming tomorrow. Not a single person knows what's going to happen in 6 hours from right now. Nobody knows. There's a lot of people guessing. So stop guessing and just do the next right thing. And the next right thing is to maybe hit your knees and pray and just get into gratitude. Maybe take a walk outside and look at the sun. Feel some vitamin D flow back into your body. Get some new perspective. Call somebody today on your phone list that you haven't talked to in a while and check out on them. Get out of your head and into your heart and just see how they're doing, right? Everything that you're asking today is me just telling you and reliving some of the stuff that I've gone through to tell you what is possible is anything as long as you're willing not to quit. I don't know what tomorrow is going to fucking bring. I know what right now is going to bring. This podcast is going, and when I'm done, I ordered wings, and they're sitting outside, and I'm going to eat those wings because I was able to see the opportunity that I was hungry, and I ordered food, so when I get out of this interview, I have food to eat. So you can do things. You are capable more than you give yourself credit for. So anybody listening, realize this. I'm here to help you. If you need help, my name's Tony Grubmeier. You can send me a text. 303-999-5007. If I can't personally help you, I will find somebody who can. That is my personal cell phone. That's my obligation in this world, is to show up in such a way that if you want something, let's go figure out how to help you get it. And if it'll make your life better, awesome. And if it'll impact somebody else's life, even better. But that is the gift and the opportunity that we each have today, is to go make the world a better place.
That's amazing. The fact that you're willing to give out your personal cell phone, and just so you guys understand, Tony's not someone just sitting at home waiting for his phone to ring, right? Like, he's a busy guy. We actually have been trying to get this done for a couple of weeks. And so the fact that obviously that you're willing to do that shows a lot about who you are. Now, here's what I want to go to next. I seen you post that you just did 75 hard. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
How was that?
It was actually pretty damn intense. And I loved every moment of it. I loved the camaraderie, the accountability, and I loved it. It was one of those things where it pushed me, and I finished on the 29th of June, and I gave myself a few days just to have fun, and I watched my weight go up like 4 pounds, 5 pounds, 6 pounds, maybe seven. Yeah, I think it's about 7 pounds. And then I knew I was starting phase one of the next phase of it, and that lasts 30 days, and I'm currently on day 4, and that shit is just whole next level. And some people go, don't you know there's phase 2 and phase 3? I'm like, yeah, don't you know that there's Saturday, Sunday coming, but like, are you living in Saturday and Sunday, or are you living in today? And so I'm living in day 4 of day 30, and I'm not used to cold showers, 5 minutes of cold showers in the morning. It's not my favorite thing yet. I don't never really expect it to be my favorite thing, but I'm actually understanding some things about myself sitting there freezing because I've done cryotherapy. So highly recommend 75 hard if you're up for a mental challenge. It's not a diet. It's not just a thing. It's something that you become. You become this warrior, in my opinion. This mental game changes for you. And I love it. I like a challenge. I'll bet you a penny that I get out, you know, last you in whatever contest just to freaking have the challenge, because that's what my brain needs as an addict. I need a challenge.
Yep.
And so I had 10 friends who started.
How many made it?
I got 2 friends that started a couple days after me that are about to finish. I left one a message this morning. And another person I was really counting on, it didn't make it. And yeah. Then I was talking to another one of my friends who had started it and forgot to drink 10 ounces of water one day and hit reset and started again. And I couldn't be more proud of Alex for, you know, at first I was pissed. I'm like, dude, it's 10 freaking ounces. Like what, like, you're telling me you didn't get an extra 10 ounces in your bottle somewhere along the journey? And he's like, no, it was all micro measured out. And I was like, all right, cool. And he's like, it's not your journey, it's mine. And that made me realize, like, I can't want it for you more than you want it for yourself. And he wanted it so bad. And today we were talking, he's like, you know, I've been doing this thing for 84 days, because that's how many days with the stoppage and then like restarting. He's like, I now feel and see the transformation more so than ever. But it all starts with day one. Doesn't start with day two. It starts with day one. And I really highly respect Alex for hitting the reset button and really doing it. And that for me is what 75 hard is.
Yeah. So those of you who don't know, and obviously you've gone through it and I haven't, and I love a challenge too, but that one scares me. So there's a couple of different things. So for 75 consecutive days, you have to do 2 45-minute workouts, and one has to be outside, a gallon of water. Let's see, at least 10 minutes of reading into something that's educational. You have to stick to a diet. It doesn't have to necessarily be keto or vegetarian or vegan or carnivore or whatever, but some type of healthy diet that eliminates kind of the crap, right? And then what else am I missing?
No alcohol.
No alcohol.
No
that's
cheat
it.
Meals.
Yep. No alcohol.
And you have
no
to take
cheat
a
meals.
Selfie every day. So for me, I could have had a bra on when I took my first photo. So that was embarrassing, that I had let myself get to that level. And then the reality is the person that I am today, looks in the mirror and says, wow, like I can see the transformation. And so, it's crazy is what Andy created at 75hard.com is a program that really makes you do these micro commitments every single day. And so you don't know what you're going to look like. Kind of like we were talking about just a minute ago. I don't know what next week's going to bring. I just know what today's going to bring. And so this next phase that I'm on took that whole thing to like the next level, but it still begins with you making a commitment to yourself. And that is what I'm probably more excited about. You know, I rode my bike to work yesterday, home, and I got up and went for a walk with a buddy of mine in the neighborhood. So I think yesterday on my body alone, I put just under 30 miles. Still found time to call my trainer and train. Still found time to read a book. I started a new book, Your Personality Isn't Permanent. And find the time to meditate, found time to just have a couple minutes to just be. And I love that now there's an app, because when I first started, I don't think the app I even knew existed. And this app makes it so much easier because the app will just notify you. So it's the best $4.99 I spend in the App Store. Because it'll notify you. You said, hey, I want to do my second workout by 5. So by 5 o'clock, I'm getting a notification saying move. The 75 previous days, I logged everything in Evernote and had to remind myself about everything. And I was like, shit. Oh, my gosh. Because if you don't do one of those 5 things, Derek, you have to start over.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
my buddy didn't drink 10 ounces of water, he had to start over.
Out of a whole gallon, right? So it wasn't like he just didn't drink water. He just was a little bit short because he was supposed to drink a whole gallon, right?
Yeah. And so then my other buddy, Julian, who's helping me write my book, he got to like, I think day 75 and was like, you know, flexing, going, damn, I did it. And then realized that day 71, he didn't take a selfie.
Oh, no.
That whole thing is like out the window. So it's mental toughness, there's so much more to it than just the 5 things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love it. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a change, a mental, physical focus. 2 things that I noticed. So anybody who knows me knows I normally wear a hat. So yep. I left the hat on in the before and I put the hat back on in the after. But really the true thing is I don't wear a hat anymore.
Why?
I realized it was my identity. I was hiding behind my hat. When I was fat, skinny, out of shape, in shape, it was like I'd put my hat on and I've had a hat on my entire life, more or less, in everything that I've ever done. And it was like to cover a little bit of shame and kind of stuff that I'd gone through. And then if you're watching the video or know, I have mixed tiles behind my, usually when I'm doing an interview. And I go from fat, skinny, fat. I've yo-yoed all my life. So and I've struggled because of being an addict. I said, you know, maybe I should have gone into Overeaters Anonymous. That's probably where I really could use some additional resources and help. And I'm finally now just applying my 12-step program to some of the food stuff. And I'm only living in the next meal. I'm not living in like what's to come. You know, a lot of people say, you know, oh, I got a birthday coming up. I'm not going to, what am I going to do on my birthday? Or, you know, am I supposed to do this or supposed to do that? I'm like, man, that's a lot of future shit that I just don't want to worry about. What I want to worry about is like, what can we eat today? Like, what's our next meal? And a lot of times I don't even think about food because I more enjoy the company that I'm with. So, you know, for me, I've learned that number one, my identity I was hiding behind as a hat. Number two, that food has always been an issue with me. And so now I'm just getting a new relationship with food. And the rewards are like through the roof. And so I'm so blessed and grateful that, you know, 75 Hard popped up on my feed. My buddy Adam Miller posted about it. I didn't even know what I signed up for. I didn't know any of the five things that you're supposed to do on a day-to-day basis. I said yes without knowing. I said yes because, you know what? I was tired of my fat ass. Excuse my language, looking fat and not fitting in any of my clothes. And I remember my wife said a long time ago to me, she's like, hey, you're already at size 38. I'm not getting you 40. you have a closet full of 36 and 34s because you've always yo-yoed. And, you know, so now when I look in the mirror and I see this guy, I say, hey, you know what? You're doing the work. And Justin Armstrong, who's on my team, he says, you can't fake work.
Yep. So how much did you lose? How much did you lose over the course?
I can tell you're looking pounds.
Good. Whoa, 31 pounds.
31 pounds now. I went back up a couple. You know, obviously I enjoyed some cheeseburgers over the fourth. And then I'm back down to my lowest weight that I've been in the last 3.5 years. So I'm at 32 pounds today.
Nice. Nice. Good work, man. And I should give credit. Andrew Frisella is the one who put out 75 Hard. You guys want a challenge? Like, there it is. There it is. That's takes some discipline. So I want to start wrapping up here. Obviously, Tony, super excited and grateful that you would be willing to give us the time and all the insight. Obviously, for everybody who listens, we really try to get into, you know, liberation, lifestyle, legacy as much as we can. So when it comes to you, as we kind of get winding down here, obviously you've done all these amazing things. You've, you know, really reconnected with your family. You've been able to build the businesses, the community. You know, you go to an event and you're there. Everybody knows Tony. Like, you've done all these amazing things. But at the end of all of it, what do you want the legacy of Tony Grebmeyer to be?
I posted about this the other day. I think my job right now is I am living my legacy. And I'm leaving a reflection for my kids to follow if they like, but I'm just lighting a path for them. I thought my parents did their best attempt at doing the same thing. And I think that's what I want to keep doing, inspiring people to light their own path. You know, when I woke up when I was 5 years old, I probably wanted to be a doctor, a professional athlete, a police officer. When I wake up today, I just want to be the best version of myself. That's it. I just want to be better than I was yesterday, and I'm not where I want to be, but I'm exactly where I need to be, doing exactly what I said I want to be doing. And if I don't, then today is an opportunity to change. And that is what I want my path to look like for my kids. Hopefully one day we'll have grandkids and there'll be tapes floating around the internet, like the Wayback Machine. So you can find old tapes and sites and messages. But the same message to be true is that, like, he lived his life and he loved what he did and he had fun along the journey, right? And it's simple stuff, but very complex, because you talk to most gurus, most authors, most people that have ever led an organization, and they're fucking miserable.
Yep.
They're miserable. Like, they're not fully alive. They're fully living a false truth, and they don't live and love what they do. And I will tell you that the greatest gift I have ever received wasn't a video game, wasn't playing water polo, it wasn't sobriety, it wasn't a lot of stuff. It was walking into work one night and my wife walked in. At the time was just a young girl who said yes to an opportunity to go out with a friend after she had already been in bed and got dressed up and walked into my life. And we have been on a journey for the past 22 years of learning how to help one another, navigate the uncertain waters that are ahead, but know that we're together. So instead of our boat rowing in circles, we're rowing together. And sometimes she may want to take the paddle and smack me up beside the head, but we're better together. And we've had some holes in our boat along the way. And you know, the Titanic ship didn't sink. It may have hit some icebergs, but we worked together to patch them. And we've picked up some amazing kids along the journey and are grateful that God has given us an opportunity to be of service and help a lot of people go through some rough patches in their life that my wife and I, as a collective, been able to counsel and be there for people. Like, that's the greatest blessing and gift I've received. It's not the money, because money comes and goes, right? But love, something that's true, like what we have, most people wrote us off. Most people said, there is no chance in hell you're going to fix this ship. This shit is sinking. It snapped in half. It's going to the bottom. And we probably even thought that along our journey. That's why I even had filed for divorce. But through the grace of God and love, and the greatest gift is a hand that says, I'm not leaving you. We're going to figure this thing out. You know, and I got my stuff together. And then from that point forward, we have really worked hard every single day to make it better. And I give all the praise to God, but he gave me the greatest gift of my life, which is my wife, Amber, and showed me that, you know, what you really, really want, you have. And what you really, really need, you've already got. So all you really need to do today is just show up and love her, and the rest takes care of itself.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, Tony, I want to just, you know, kind of thank you, I guess, for hopping on here. Thanks for the wisdom, the knowledge, the inspiration. I know that a lot of people are going through some stuff right now. And I feel like one of the things I want to do with this podcast is hopefully have people on in timely spots because of what you've been through and the wisdom that you're able to help out with out there. So where can people find you if they want to follow you along? Obviously the journal's amazing. Like, where can they find you? Where can they get access to, whether they're looking for coaching or whether they're looking for the journal, or I guess maybe any of your content that they need?
AOL.com, Lycos.com, AltaVista.com, CompuServe.com, Prodigy.com. No, just Tony Grubmeyer.
You're going back to the old radio read days, weren't you?
Yeah, you can go to TonyGrubmeyer.com or you can visit ShipOffers.com. Both of them will kind of help you navigate where I'm at and what I'm up to. You know, the one thing that I just want you to know, I'm honored beyond what most people don't know. Like, this guy that you're listening to right now, the host of the Primal King podcast, just a great guy. Like, I'm so blessed that I got to meet his brother, Randall, who then introduced me to Derek, and then spending quality time getting to know them. You know, it's cool about life that you're one person away from a whole new network. So if you're sitting at home feeling like the world doesn't love you, you're right. The world doesn't owe you anything, but you owe the world everything. Number two, that whatever you're going through, you're just going through it. You're going to be better to get through it than to quit and never say that you went through it. And then the third thing that I want you to know is that this podcast is going to help a lot of people. It already has. And the way that this podcast message gets out to the world is you find where you're listening to this podcast and leave a review to help this podcast find new listeners so that the impact of this podcast can live way beyond Derek and myself, that this podcast can be something that's going to be there for years to come. And that is something that we get to do by being of service. And that's all service really is helping to spread a message and helping people to find insight to whatever they're going through so they don't have to do it alone.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Guys, if anything resonated with you, seriously, go check out the Be Fulfilled Journal. Like I said, I have one myself. Tony does a lot of amazing things within the Be Fulfilled Facebook group. So there's a lot of different resources out there for him to help you out. Again, Tony, thanks a lot, man. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There's one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.